That's GoBerkey.com today.
America, here we are. We've arrived at the week where you might have a short one because guess what? At the tail end of the week, it is 4th of July. So a lot of you will take off Thursday and Friday and make a little vacation. I hope that a lot of you listening to my voice get the chance to do that. Until then, though, we got a lot of meat between the beginning of the show to the end of this show to get to. So like a sandwich analogy, this is a giant hoagie, and we're about to take our first bite of the hoagie. How's that? Explain to me what is going on with the nuclear plant in Nebraska. This is what I love. Don't worry, it's okay. I know the Missouri River is swollen, and it is bearing down on us. But don't worry, we got it under control, folks, because we're the OPPD. You know what OPPD stands for? The Omaha Public Power District. And more people are aware of what's going on because of Fukushima, so now people kind of gasp when it comes to nuclear plants and water. Really? What's happening? How close is the water? What about the flood that's going by it? So at first they tell us that, oh, no worries, no worries, because we have double layers. It's just, think of it like a castle, and there's a moat in between, and we've got giant walls, and it's so protected, the reactors, there's just no way anything can happen. Except for the fact that a flood berm burst one of the extra added pieces of protection. So immediately, the OPPD got in front of the story to say, well, you know, we had other things in place. This was just extra. We have an 8-foot-tall water film-filled berm, 16 feet wide at the base, surrounded this reactor and the containment structure and the auxiliary building, so no worries. We built the plant up high enough based on history, based on the flooding, get this, in the past, that's flooding in the past. If the flood would rise for some reason above that level, we've taken the precautions. Yeah, we got sandbags. We're sandbagging that important equipment for the reactors. So don't you worry. That plant is designed to withstand waters of up to 1,014 feet above the mean sea level, they call it. You know what the river stands at right now? 1,006.3 feet. Now, to be fair, it's not supposed to get above 8. So, you know, do the math. 1,014, 1,008. But I'm living in that area, and you're telling me it's a matter of inches, really? I don't feel real comfortable with that. And now you have this one added layer, this one berm that bursts that, yeah, you put it in there as extra protection, but it's not making me feel good. What happened was some piece of a machine came in contact with it, so it punctured it, and it caused it to deflate. That's why it went down. But it doesn't make you feel good about that. You know, it's so bad that I understand that the flood rumor control phone lines, aka also Page, to reassure people in Nebraska that there's no radioactivity from the plant is getting like a gazillion hits. People are going to the Page and people are blowing out the phone lines because they had an electrical fire, remember, in the beginning of June. Sure, it didn't knock out cooling to the spent fuel storage pool for very long, except for 90 minutes, but the coolant water didn't reach a boiling point. Luckily, before the pumps went back into service, it's not making you feel real comfortable. I don't know. I'm glad I don't live near that plant. I used to live in Nebraska. These are, you know, breadbasket, heart and soul, wonderful people that live in this very small area. And they're just listening to what's going on and trying, I guess, to take the word of the OPPD. But how much do you trust the public power district? I think the people in Japan trusted them. Now, granted, that was a tsunami and a little bit different than this is still raging waters, but not quite the same as the tsunami. So the Fort Calhoun plant, I believe, I know, shut down since April, is just a tad worrisome. And whether they put that in there or not, and it deflated, and it was just an added berm for protection, it doesn't matter. The fact that it popped, whatever, it doesn't make anybody feel super comfortable. I think there's some people that are comfortable, and there's some people that are furious with what happened in New York over the weekend. As soon as it happened, because I have my handy-dandy brick that we all walk around with, my brick is the iPhone variety. Some of you have other versions of it. It immediately pinged up. It just lit up like a Christmas tree. So I knew something big was going on. And, of course, it was a historic moment in New York City. Like I said, some furious, some excited. So now what they had is a parade around Fifth Avenue. Governor Cuomo signed a bill into law on Friday that made New York the sixth state to legalize same-sex marriage. So that measure kicks in 30 days after being signed, meaning July 24th, same-sex couples will have some new rights in that state. Employer health benefits, state tax breaks, that kind of stuff. Social Security, I'm not sure. Social Security, I don't think they would get that because you'd have to have the federal recognition of that. So they wouldn't get Social Security, but all the other stuff, the employer stuff and whatnot, they would. And this is a battle that's been going on for a very long time. Guaranteed you're going to have lawsuits that are going to be filed immediately. That's happened in other places. We've seen that before. But there's also a lot of people who are hurrying to get those marriage licenses as soon as they can. So when that day kicks in, they can jump the gun and get married. We saw what happened in California first. They had it, then they didn't. And here we go with New York. No vote of the people, and I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to end up being one of those, may end up being one of those ballot things. But for now, it's definitely a historic thing, and it's another state, and it's another campaign issue that will bubble up and have some meaning and not get pushed aside, because everything's about the economy and money and debt ceiling and deficit, anything related to money. But that's something that's related to people, and that'll be asked a bunch, certainly from the Republican candidates, their stance on it. But I think the president, who is kind of dancing around the issue, will be hit with it a lot more, too, as well as he goes out on the campaign trail to try to get reelected again for that second term. Odds and ends on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The meat for your sandwich. A couple of quick things. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Where would we be on this show if we didn't talk about the wicked wrath of Mother Nature? Yeah, sad that our friends in Minot, North Dakota, are rebuilding after 4,000 homes were ruined by the flood. But here's the thing. When people are in financial trouble, how many don't have the insurance? They didn't pay the insurance. They don't have the homeowner's insurance. I guess this might be part of the problem of people trying to get it together there. But that many people, at least 4,000, lost homes or have, you know, homes that are just covered on the first floor with water or whatever. Pretty nasty stuff. It's been a rough 4 or 5 months with the tornadoes, with the wildfires, with a lot of disasters that have hit this country in all kinds of areas, including Arizona now when it comes to the wildfires. They're saying that they've contained one of three of the major fires, but still how many people had to be evacuated and are coming back in to find bits and pieces of a house. And the same thing in New Mexico with the wildfire that is bearing down in certain areas. In Los Alamos, which is in that county where the National Laboratory is, you know, they do top secret work there. They've got a wildfire there that forced them to close the site. and it's chewing up acres. 6 miles. Started on Sunday. And I've used to live in New Mexico, been to that area many, many times. And that fire gets going, it's like a monster. It will inhale it. And that's what's happening. And that's what's happening in Arizona, too. Those dry conditions, the drought, same thing. The fact that you've got all that timber, all that area to go through, and that's what's happening there. And for people who don't know, when you talk about Los Alamos, it was actually founded during World War II to develop nuclear weapons, the first nuclear weapons. If you've seen anything on the bombs, then you've heard of the Los Alamos National Laboratory, but they're in trouble. They're in trouble with the fires, too. Besides the fires, something else that has happened, if you weren't paying attention, and believe it or not, besides the debt ceiling and the deficit and all of that, a couple of other things have happened as well, including the fact that the TSA, once again, has blown it when it comes to deciding who needs to really be patted down and who should just be allowed to go through. And why I bring that up is because I just can't say enough about the story. The fact that you've got somebody who is probably power mad in their position that they have, they decide that a 95-year-old woman in a wheelchair needs to be patted down, and they can't correctly pat her down because, of course, she's too frail to get out of the wheelchair. She has to take off the diaper that she's wearing, and that ordeal takes an hour long before she can eventually get through security. Just such a waste of time and so ridiculous that there is no common sense to this. There's no rhyme or reason for who ultimately is searched and who gets the latest pat down. So maybe I'm more supportive of what they're doing in Texas now. At first, I kind of scoffed at it a little bit and thought, oh, that's, you know, ridiculous. My solution to the TSA is, why don't you hire the right people and pay them in the first place? Get the ex-cops and detectives out there, because that's what they did forever, for a living. Or even if they did it for 10 years, for however long, this is what they know how to do. This is what they're trained. It's called profiling. You know when something's off, you're looking at body language. You that's what you're paying attention to. You're looking for the shifty eyes, the nervousness, the whatever. And you're not worried about 95-year-old women in wheelchairs who are just trying to go from Florida to Michigan for a family reunion. It makes no sense. And the poor woman was probably a wreck because she was nervous and certain to begin with because of having to deal with a wheelchair and get on the plane. And now it's so tense anyway half the time when you travel. So somebody that age, where before you get somebody where they could go all the way through with you, now the person is just waving you on as you go through the security check spot and watching that on the other side. Ugh. So, you know what? Bravo to the people in Texas, to the lawmakers there who want to do something about the groping thing. But unfortunately, the Republican Speaker of the House in Texas, a guy named Joe Strauss, is saying that, you know, when it came time for the vote, really, everybody was gone. So they didn't stay there to take the vote on the bill. Unfortunately, and the reason they say is because the bill is symbolic. But I think it needs to be specific. And it needs to prohibit employees from improperly touching a person's private areas, especially these kids. And there's been massive lobbying on this, lots of pressure to do something to resurrect this bill that would ban groping in Texas, for one, and make it part of a special session of the state legislature there. But there's enough people that say, well, nobody was there for the vote. And, you know, they're missing in action. And they said because there wasn't going to be any further votes on it, so they didn't show up. So, because you need to have at least 100 members to have the business at hand conducted, so voting on bills or whatever. But I think this has some legs, and I think it will go at least to a vote anyway. I think that will happen. However, it's a state. If it's from the state, the feds will shoot it down, and that's what they've said. They said they'll go after it. So maybe it does become somewhat symbolic. But if enough people press and push for that, and if enough of these stories get out there, the 95-year-old woman, the 7-year-old girl, the baby, for goodness sake, I mean, you know, let's call this. Let's just say what it is. It's nonsense. It's folly. You and I would probably do a better job of standing there and screening people. Really. Honestly. Because obviously the people who are doing it are not executing it properly, whether it's a power issue, whether it's we're just following down to the letter of the law that we've been handed, that we have to do this to everybody, regardless of their age, etc. I'm not buying that. The world is not black and white. I hate to tell you. Oh, this is why I have such a hard time with black and white rules, people. My entire life, if I was gonna have problems with anyone, it would be somebody who couldn't see beyond the end of their nose. And that's what I think has happened here. They're not looking at what's really happening. Because anybody standing there at any kind of a gate seeing this woman would realize, why would you make her take off a diaper? Why would you do that to her? Why would you humiliate her that way and have her go through that? For what? I mean, for what, I ask you? And I don't think any of you are going to be able to give me a good answer for that. I don't think so. And that's a problem. That's a problem with the TSA. And the perception of the TSA has gone from worse to ugly to completely down the tubes. They need to hire some people with some common sense, and they need to rewrite the book on this. They really do. 800-259-5791. Stay with us.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, 3-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-45
877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I like to see you look right across the floor. I like to do the things till you call for more. I like to reggae, but you can't do that for me. I like to make my food. You can make me scream.
Drivers of the world listening to America Tonight, explain to me how a guy working for a company, the John Davis Trucking Company out of Nevada, drove a truck through a crossing gate and into an Amtrak train's double-decker car on Friday, killing himself and five people on the train who are missing, so they presume because it was a fiery crash. What possibly could have happened there? The company has been cited a bunch of times for unsafe driving and operating a truck with tires so bald that they had to take the truck off the road, some of the semis. What was this? Was this fatigue, the driver not paying attention, alcohol, drugs, anything, not seeing that blinking, flashing lights at the crossing, which you should be able to see for half a mile away if you were driving at 70 miles an hour. It's going to take a year to sort this thing out. Two truck drivers say, and the train's engineer said, they were just shocked, and all they could do was watch with their mouths open as this semi-trailer just skidded about the length of a football field before slamming into the train. And the gates came down, the warning lights went off, the whole thing. So, I mean, why did the driver not stop? What possibly could have happened? So, the truck smashes into two of the train's 10 cars. Sad. Sad that there's more to the story that we'll never, ever know. As sad for the innocent people sitting on that train, sad for the engineer watching this, and these locomotive guys know, these engineers in the front know that all kinds of crazy things happen. That people try to run gates, get around the gates, take a close call, just barely miss getting hit by a train. In this day and age, you cannot tell me that you, the way they're marked clearly, that you cannot see that. It makes no sense that somebody tries to hurry and beat the train. Chicken with the train is a losing proposition. It's not about more warnings. It's not about more flashing lights. It's about, for goodness sake, people taking responsibility and not running these railroad crossings. And I'm telling you, if somebody does do that, if there was a way to catch them, they need to start nailing these people. They need to start doing that. It's just stupid. There's no reason to hurry. I don't care what, if you're delivering a load, you're late, a few minutes late on one side, you don't want to wait for the train to go through, too bad. Then come up with an alternate route and don't go near the train. I've lived near trains, I know. I live down the street from a train. In fact, in my neighborhood, it would be considered to be inconvenient because the train, they're building things around the train, so it's blocked off all kinds of roads near me. But I have waited for trains. That's fine. You just wait. But we don't know. We don't know what was going through the driver's mind. We don't know what happened. But we have no idea what caused that to happen. And they might never really directly know. As much as their investigators can piece things together, it's going to be pretty tough to come up, I think, with a definitive answer, and it's going to take them a while. It'll be this time next year that I'll be on the air and say, oh, the National Transportation Safety Board came up with this for that. Remember that train and the truck that we were talking about? Here's what they came up with for the truck company. All right, let's go to Don in Wyoming. Hey, Don.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
You know, you're talking with this truck driver and then this guy with TSA, you know, first thing, you know, we've gone in about, what is it, about 11 weeks or 9-10 weeks away from the 10-year anniversary of, you know, 9/11. And, you know, and I'm sitting back thinking, you know, we've, you know, the CIA, the FBI, state, federal, local law enforcement, TSA have obviously done a great job, and it's been a pain in the butt. You know, I hate going to airports now, you know, all the stuff that goes on, the procedures, you know, but they've done a great job, you have to admit, in keeping our country safe, you know, whether that's because we took the war to Al-Qaeda or they just don't have, you know, anything to wreak havoc here. I mean, we've gone, I mean, last year, we didn't even have a plane crash last year, let alone anybody die, you know, that flew. And so in a sense that, but I agree with you. That's kicking to extreme about asking a lady to take a bite diaper off of a baby, you know, and but at the same time...
Wait, a diaper off of a baby? Wait. A 95-year-old woman who is riddled with disease going to see her family who had a depends on, 95 years old, in a wheelchair, just going through security, and she could barely get up. That's... was part of the problem.
Yeah.
They made her take the diaper off because they wanted to pat her down, and they had to have the diaper off.
Right. And, you know, it's just, you know, and that's just common sense. You know, there's rules
of course.
And there's common sense. You know what I mean, Kate? How many thousands, how many we got, 50, 60, 100,000 people working with TSA?
Yeah.
You're not, every one of these people you screen and you think, hey, this is going to be a good worker, okay, they pass all the federal regulations, you know. They're, you know, you hope they're, you know, they've got some form of common sense also. But unfortunately, I'm sure here and there, you know, and there's obviously was more than one TSA agent involved in this issue, you know. So there's got to be a, you know, some common sense thing. But I'll tell you something, Kate. As sick and disgusting as this sounds, is as sick and disgusting as our enemy is, because they will take little 3-year-old babies and strap them with bombs. like hide behind these women and these little toddlers so that they won't get shot at when they're fighting our soldiers. You know, these are completely the most cowardice, disgusting human beings on this planet that will sit there and scream jihad, and they'll have the guts to stand in front of another guy, you know, one-on-one and have a fight. Instead, they hide behind people. They hide behind things. You know, I mean, they're cowards, you know, and they'll use, the, you know, the, it was going, you remember, it was going on in Vietnam. They would strap little children with, you know, a shoe shine box. Remember Rambo, you know, little box, you know, shoe shine, you know, but they were doing that stuff over there, you know, and these people just don't have any respect for children or anything or women at all. And unfortunately, you know, but yeah, you know, a 90-something-year-old lady in a diaper or a 2-year-old toddler, you know, with a diaper on or something like that, and you know, whatever the case is, there's got to be some common sense. And the same thing reflects to the story you're talking about with this truck driver, you know. At first, I never heard about this until tonight, because, you know, on the weekend, I like to shut my brain down when it comes to news.
Sure, sure. Yeah,
I understand. I'm a news junkie. Monday through Friday, but on the weekend it's like, you know what, time to shut down, you know.
And so
I hadn't even heard about it, but it was, you know, I was first thought when I was listening to you, I thought, well, maybe the dude was trying to commit suicide, you know, with an 18-wheeler, you know. But
yeah,
then you said,
boy, that's awful.
But then you said he hit the brakes and he was sliding, you know, for quite a while. So obviously he wasn't trying. If he was hitting the brakes, he obviously wasn't trying to, unless he changed his mind at the last second, you know, and couldn't control the slide. But, you know, I don't know, Kate, we've got close to 1.5 million truck drivers around this country, you know, and a lot of trucking companies. And I don't know what is and what isn't as it comes to, you know, why accidents happen. I know, you know, I'll give you an example. Our trucking company, we've got 90 drivers, okay? It's a small business, et cetera. We had 0 accidents last year, the whole year. We won the award in the state of Utah, okay, for safest trucking company, okay? And we got a big little thingy at Christmas time. No money, of course, but
it's way
to go. Great driving, right? We're not even through halfway through the year, and we've already had 8 accidents. You know, and you just shake your head. How can you all of a sudden go from 0 to 8 accidents, you know? And so you don't know, you know, it's kind of weird, you know. But I do know that, you know, I wish they could find out the answer why this happened.
I
do too. You're talking a lot of tonnage in that train versus,
absolutely,
you know, versus 40 tons of trucks, you know. And so I don't know. That's just really bizarre story.
I think so too. It's not, we're not talking a terrorist event here, obviously. I don't think so.
No.
We're not talking about that because they knew who the driver was and whatnot. It's not like when you hear, you know, way back when Spain, remember all those people that were injured when the bombs went off at the railway station? That's what you think when there's some kind of giant accident. I mean, this is quite simply one of those railroad crossing things. I think he didn't see the flashing lights. Who knows, he was distracted by something, Don, hopefully not his cell phone, and then it was too late, and he tried to hit the brakes, and then he slammed into the train.
Yeah. Well, I hope this just, the rest of America doesn't just all of a sudden, you know, first of all, remember, the interstate system was built for trucking. It wasn't built for you and I to drive our cars down, okay? It was Eisenhower's idea to copy the Autobahn and to get the trucks cross-country and to from point A to point B a lot faster. And as far as I'm concerned, the majority of these truck drivers are the safest drivers in the world, and they're very courteous and considerate, the fact that they're cut off all the time. So let's not rip on all the truck drivers, but let's just find out what happened with this one and try to make it better, right?
I agree. Try to make it better and be more alert. Just a warning, don't try to play chicken with a train no matter what you're driving. Thanks, Don.
You know that drinking pure, high alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste.
increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
While we're sitting here trying to figure out why the politicians can't get us back into the black, how about this asteroid that's supposed to pass close by the Earth on Monday? Have you heard about this? Yeah. NASA actually recalculated, they say, the time of the closest approach for it to be about 3.5 hours later than they initially were saying. I didn't even hear the first time that they mentioned. So the asteroid is going to make its closest approach to us at 1:14 Eastern time in the afternoon. Yeah. And you know what closest considered to be? It's going to pass over 7,500 miles above the Earth's surface. So the asteroid has a name. It's 2011 MD. And it's sailing high off the coast of Antarctica, they say, about 2,000 miles south-southwest of South Africa. Oh, let's hope that the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, is correct in their analysis of this asteroid. to reassure all of us, even though they're saying it's close, there is no chance that it's going to hit the Earth, but the close pass will be a way that they can study it with radar observation.
So there's no need to call up Bruce Willis and Steve Buscemi.
That's what I was thinking.
Ben Affleck. Get the whole crew together.
Destroy it. Destroy it. Who cares about deficits? We're all going to die anyway in a fiery death if they don't get rid of that asteroid. So if the asteroid were to enter the Earth's atmosphere, it wouldn't reach, they say it wouldn't reach the surface. It would just, phew, it would just break up. It would just break up so pieces of the asteroid would fly down and smash into your backyard. But even then, they say it wouldn't cause ground damage. Although they called it close, that's so weird. So it's not very clear. It's a close shave with the Earth. But don't worry, it can't enter the atmosphere. And even if it did, it would never hit the ground. Never. We are very certain of it. It's not a Hollywood movie. So I guess we do have to figure out what to do with the with this deficit that's raging. No relief for the weary in talking about the debt ceiling. You know, the president is meeting the Senate leaders, etc., and anyone that will listen to him to talk about what's happening with the debt ceiling and to try to come up with some kind of a compromise, because the talks flew apart last week when the Democrats wanted to include tax revenue, you know, raising taxes in certain areas alongside the spending cuts to get ahead of the August 2nd deadline, because that's the deadline, by the way, before the $14.3 trillion borrowing limit. Is that so crazy to think of that? So Mitch McConnell is sticking to his guns. You know, he said the whole business of raising taxes, regardless of how you go about it, is something that Congress is not likely to do. So just to be clear on this, since the asteroid's not going to save us from this conversation, the debt ceiling needs to be raised by about $2.4 trillion. $2.4 trillion. That means that the government has enough money to keep going on through the November 2012 election. Oh, I see where we're going with this. So this is the thing. Republicans, in a nutshell, Reader's Digest version, Republicans want spending cuts to equal any increase in the limit, but the administration is pushing for things that include money, revenue. So the president favors $3 in spending cuts for every dollar in revenue. Great. Yep. So what's going to happen here? We know what D-Day is, August, the beginning of August. And we knew this was going to happen. It was going to be a summer of going back and forth, because we're not even in July yet. It's going to be a summer of going back and forth over this. I think it comes down at the last second. They're not going to solve this in the next 2 weeks. Are you kidding me? We were talking about Minot, North Dakota, and everything that they've had to deal with the raging waters. In trying to piece together their homes, 4,000 or so people in various stages of disarray. And that's what happens in a flood. You know, your next-door neighbor, half the house comes down, and then two doors over, it's the bottom floor is flooded out. It just depends on how much water got in and who was able to sandbag and whatnot. So we kind of came up with an idea. When you're from Minot, how do you cut through the clutter with everybody asking for dollars? And maybe they could have a tourism, Matt and I think maybe they could have a tourism shirt design saying, why not Minot? We're going to call the tourism, I'm going to call the North Dakota tourism folks, and I'm going to offer that up to them. Why not Minot? So why shouldn't they get their dollar or two to help them clean up, which I'm sure they will get some money. But you got people that didn't have insurance, that couldn't afford homeowners insurance, and that's catastrophic, boy, trying to piece things together without that insurance, because flood damage is can just run into thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, depending on how, you know, how much water damage was actually done to your home. Like I mentioned, how, you know, how many levels were hit. In fact, the water there, what they're saying is because now that the floodwaters are receding, they're starting to recede, the drinking water, they're worried about disease, so they're telling everybody that you have to, there's a boil, they call it a boil order. They're telling everybody to boil the water. They have to boil the water there. All right. I wish the people well there. That's tough. That's tough to try to rebuild. That's what we're seeing all over the country. Alabama and Tuscaloosa still shattered those lives after the tornado. Same thing, Joplin, Missouri. A lot of people dealing with the fires. It's rough sledding. Consider yourself lucky when you're not in the middle of one of these horrific Mother Nature events, or the river being open, the levees in certain areas being busted open, and having to deal with what ultimately happens to your particular city. I don't know how long any of you would wait for fast food, but I have an interesting story to share with you. I used to live in California for a brief time, and the famous burger joint there was called In-N-Out. Anybody ever been to an In-N-Out burger place? They really do make good burgers. It's just a different kind of taste, a unique taste. So it's really in California, and when people go to California that aren't from there or they used to live there for a time, when they get off the plane, a lot of times they rush to In-N-Out to get an In-N-Out burger. So In-N-Out Burger has come to, is branching out, going to a couple of different states, and they happen to be not too far from where I live. And it's created this crazy sensation where people will wait in line. They had to build a separate parking lot. People will wait in a drive-through line for 20 minutes to get through the In-N-Out Burger joint. And when you go in to get a burger, and this is fast food, mind you, and I'm just thinking how many of you would do this. You order your stuff. They have a simple menu, handful of things. You order it, and then it's like you're at the butcher's counter, and you have a number at the deli. You remember those days? And you get a number, and there's 50 people in front of you, and you're waiting for them to call your number so you can get your bag of fast food burgers. I don't know. I mean, they're good burgers, but is there something about waiting for 20 minutes for a fast food burger that just... Can you call that fast food anymore? I'm just thinking out loud.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?